sing a chorus. We're coming out of Babylon. I'd like to sing that with you this morning. And then we're going to be turning to the book of Hosea chapter 12 for one verse, and then we'll be going back to Jeremiah, and from there, I'm not exactly sure, probably to Amos. We'll see where the Lord leads us. But first of all, we're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand praise. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I was going to say you may be seated, but you already are. I was a little late there. Amen. We are going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Hosea, the 12th chapter, for one verse in particular. We'll be focusing in on that verse, and that'd be verse 10. And I'd like to explain something as we get into this message, because what I see happening is I see the same mistakes being made over and over again all through history. And we could look back in the Bible and we could see how Israel fell for all of the temptations that Satan was throwing at them by seducing them through other nations. You can read time and again in the book of Judges or in 1 and 2 Kings and all through the Old Testament how the people of Israel, called out of Egypt, taken through the Red Sea by a miracle, preserved in the wilderness by miracles, how eventually when they settled in to the land of promise, and of course they had their problems even getting there, and that trip should not have taken more than a couple of months, and it took 40 years because they kept wandering in circles. The Lord wouldn't lead them through until they learned some lessons. Amen. Did any of you ever feel like you were wandering in circles for a little while? Well, I think we all have. And the Lord is teaching us things. He teaches us to pray. He teaches us to have faith. Nobody just walks into Christianity as a sterling example of Christianity. We all learn as we go. And I think if we were honest with ourselves, we could see a long trail of mistakes behind us, but we are headed in the right direction. And we're learning of the Lord. God is teaching us His ways. Amen. And that's good. If you can learn as you go and progress and get closer to God, that's what it's all about. Israel would toggle. They would go back and forth. They would be faithful for a while. Then they'd look around and see the other nations and what they were doing. And it looked good to them because Satan enticed them into these heathen holidays, wild celebrations with every kind of lewd thing going on, and it appealed to their sensuality, the flesh, that innate sin nature in man that all of us must overcome. Did you know the Bible says there is pleasure in sin? For a season. for a season. And it gets pretty bad because sin has a destroying and wearing effect. And it'll destroy your entire life. And the Lord rescues us from that. He calls us out of that. We don't have a church that the Lord called forth so that we could toggle back and forth all the time. But we learn. Amen. We learn to lean upon the Lord and to walk in His ways. And what I see happening, I should say what I have seen happen in the Bible to Israel, where they would fall into a great backsliding condition, and they would get so bad, they'd call upon God, and He'd send a judge or a prophet to rescue them. And the Word of God would be declared, and they would repent. You know, our faithful Lord, just to show His nature, every time He took them back where they ought to be. Every time. Drove out the enemy. Even the Babylonian captivity of 70 years, even that was reversed and they were brought back. The Lord is a forgiving, gracious, wonderful Savior. It's the devil that's a hard taskmaster. The devil will take his most faithful servant, such as Judas Iscariot, and when he's through with him, he'll say, "Go hang yourself, you're hopeless." That's how it works. It's one double cross after another in the kingdom of Satan, which is why you're seeing in the United States of America one double cross after another. Everything is uncertain, everything is shaky, there's no continuity. I have never, in my nearly 58 years, in all of my years, I have never seen anything like this. We've always had problems in this country. We've always had problems in the world. But we are in a condition now where there is no soundness, no stability whatsoever. Anything goes and anything could happen. And so it is at the end of the last days. That's where we are right now. We're going to call this message this morning, America in Similitude. America in Similitude. I know that's a big, fancy $75 word, similitude, but it's much shorter in Hebrew. Dava in Hebrew. Similitude. Of course, what that means is, when you compare something, when you have like conditions, in other words, if Israel did awful, terrible things, and these certain things came upon them, and if in the United States we do those same awful, terrible things, the same things will come upon us. We're not exempt. I don't know, sometimes people think they have this special dispensation of tolerance with God because they've invented their own God anyway. And when you make God after your image, you're never going to be accurate. We are made in the image of God. And of course, man has taken on the image of Satan. And the Bible says in the last days there would be an image to the beast. And the reason for that is because the people that follow the beast system are all little images of the beast, who look like the beast, talk like the beast, think like the beast. We got little living images of the beast running all over the country. And so it is in our day. But before we read even the first verse, we need to pray and call upon the Lord, because really, without His help, we can do nothing. I don't have a word to say without His help, and there's not a word you could hear without His touch. So shall we call upon Him this morning together? Dear Father in heaven, we know that this is a very important subject in Thy Word that we're about to consider. And I pray that it would have a great impact upon our hearts, because there's only one remedy to the situation at hand. Lord, Thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. O Lord, Thine ear is not dull that it cannot hear. But O Lord, we know that the iniquities have separated Thy people from Thee. And, O Lord, if we will reach out to Thee with a whole heart, truly Thou wilt hear from heaven. And, Lord, we come before Thee now as Thy humble children, asking that thou wouldst be merciful and gracious to us, and that thou wouldst lead and guide and direct us by thy Spirit. Let thy word come forth, O Lord, and let it be with power, and let thy people receive it with gladness and with responsibility. Let Satan be driven out. Let him be disabled completely by thy precious saving blood, Lord Jesus. And, O Lord, let thy power be manifested. Let thy people be filled with the Holy Ghost, drawn unto thee, O Lord, ready to serve thee always at all times. And now, Lord Jesus, help us to have ears to hear. And let thy word, O God, have the preeminence. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it through the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, we had quite a week here this week. My office next door at Faith House was attacked. We had somebody knock in the glass in the door trying to get into the laboratory area and subsequently into the house. So what I did is I had a very, very high-tech alarm system installed over there. And it's armed right now so that within minutes, well, actually instantly, the police are notified if there's any... There's sensors all through the house. Everywhere, glass breaking sensors, the sound of glass breaking had set it off, motion detectors, monitors on the doors, and this was just finished up last night. It's armed right now. I haven't gone over to try disarming it yet because from the central station they said they would enter my code in, my password and so forth, and just in case he didn't, I was going to go over and disarm it just to check it out, but I thought I'd wait till after service because if he didn't do what he said he was going to do, the police would be there in minutes, and I didn't want an interruption, so we'll check it out later. He's going to come back tomorrow and finish just a few little things he has to do on it yet. But the police were out there and checked it out, and somebody had knocked in the glass. They didn't get in because of a hidden device on there, and they couldn't figure out how to operate it. Otherwise, they would have been in there, and who knows what. It's a laboratory. It's my office, and we have a lot of equipment and so forth. So that's pretty much common knowledge. But I just keep praying that the Lord will watch over us because we keep getting hit time and again and time and again. And I don't know how long that'll continue, but it's become a way of life almost. And over the years that has happened. But the Lord always brings us through it. It's actually a miracle they didn't get in. The police officer couldn't believe it, you know, because the glass was all broken out. All I have to do is reach in and flip the bolt, which they did, but because of another little device they couldn't find, they didn't get in. And that little device I usually don't have armed. Just so happens that Vicky had been down there and attached it. And we never use it otherwise, but that time she did, and that's what kept them out. So, you know, the Lord does help us, doesn't He? Sometimes we don't even know why we do what we do. But He uses it. Amen. So anyway, praise the Lord. So keep us in prayer on that. Now, in Hosea chapter 12, and as you know, I'm not one of these flag-waving, we don't have a flag in front of the church here. You notice that? It's very plain. There's no symbols in here. There's no flags in here. You know why? Because the Lord is our banner. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. And we have loyalties to heaven. I'm not anti-American, I'm anti-sin. It just so happens America is saturated with sin. Right. And so when we speak against sin, we speak against anything that's saturated with it. Right. Now it's kind of amazing. We hear the Baptist preach all the time, God hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. Now, the Bible does tell us that while we were yet sinners, He loved us. It tells us that. But God doesn't love a sinner in his sin. As a matter of fact, the Bible also says God hates the sinner, meaning the one who chooses to persist in it. All of us were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. In sin did our mothers conceive us. And the Lord, in His love and mercy and grace, made a way out. But for those who choose that as a way of life, and especially those that do that and continue to flaunt a so-called phony Christianity, I'm telling you, they're going to get the worst of it. I know our president said he's a Christian because he walked down the beach with Billy Graham. And people, oh, just think what it would mean to be able to walk down, to share footprints with Billy Graham on the beach. Just think what a blessing. Why, we would have a special spot next to the throne of God. This is the way people think. You know, and people think, well, because Elvis was singing that song, Crying in the Chapel, that, you know, remember some of the other ones he sang, Viva Las Vegas and Hunka Hunka Burning Love and Burning a Hole Through the Bed and all this nonsense. Come on. Billy Graham said he can't, he said it this way, he said, I'm looking forward to dying so I can go to heaven and see Elvis. Now, I don't know if that's some kind of spiritual senility setting in or what, but there's something wrong somewhere. Now, the Word of God tells us in Hosea 12, verse 10, the Almighty God said, I have also spoken by the prophets. Aren't you glad for that? And I have multiplied visions. And we're thrilled about that. And by the way, people still see visions. Ever since the day of Pentecost, God's people, young men seeing visions, old men dreaming dreams. I've had both, but I haven't had any visions lately. I've had some dreams, I guess. I've become old. And used similitudes, dava in Hebrew, comparisons, meaning we can compare from the Old Testament like situations with things in the New and things at our present time. Notice, similitudes by the ministry of the prophets, similitudes of prophecy. What is the ministry of the prophets? Prophesying. Similitudes of prophecy. I can find the United States in the Old Testament because they're doing the same things Israel did back there. And boy, are they, I should say, are we as a country, boy, are we going to get ours. Because God has warned and warned and warned time and again in many ways, currently, but also by example, by similitude, in the Old Testament. You see, there are different trains of thought in prophecy. There are some that say preterism, meaning everything's fulfilled already. There's nothing else to be fulfilled. And there are those that say there's a 7-year tribulation, a 14-year tribulation, a 21-year tribulation, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, no trib, all kinds of ideologies. People put labels and tags on it. I just go by what the Bible says. I don't like labels. I don't think we need any labels. I do know this, our Lord is coming again. There's going to be a great trumpet sounding. The dead will be raised. There's going to be a judgment day. Before that happens, we will see many signs. The Lord said, watch and pray, and you will see the signs of God unfold. Is there tribulation? Folks, we've had tribulation as Christians all along. It crescendos, it gets bigger toward the end, and certain things happen, and a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. There is an Armageddon. There's a final great battle. All kinds of things, and we see it forming before our very eyes. But we don't want to ignore the fact that the country we live in, and of course much of the world, I think you could safely say all of it, has fallen into many snares of Satan, and we see similitudes regarding what's happening now with the examples of Israel. And we'll look at some of that this morning. In fact, let's do it right now. We're going back to the book of Jeremiah first. Now in Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah was called to a calling that none of us would really want. He didn't want it either. You know, some people say, oh boy, you know, I think I'm going to be a preacher. They don't have to do anything except go and visit old people and eat coffee cake and drink a little coffee and, you know, and wander around, sit in their office and read books. And I've had people tell me that. Like one guy says, 40 years ago I couldn't even say, expel the word preacher. Now I is one. But anyway, one man told me one time, he said, you know, I wanted to be a preacher, he said, but I didn't really want to work Sundays. I wanted my weekends to myself. So I gave it up. Boy, there's a dedication, isn't there? It really gives a lot of meaning to the old saying, some are called and some are sent and some just got up and went. And these cemeteries, whatever you want to call them, they crank them out on a conveyor belt. They all sound the same. They all look the same. Did you ever notice that? There's a spirit. Come on. And I don't have any other explanation other than that Satan himself appears as a minister of righteousness, as an angel of light. He doesn't appear to most people, if he's going to appear, as some kind of a being with horns and a tail and walk around with one of those tridents, those forks, you know? Although he has appeared to people. It was up in, you know, people forget so quickly, but up north of Clintonville, up towards Shawano, I think some of you know where that is up there. There used to be a dance hall up there called Plishek's Dance Hall. And Saturday night, that was the devil's hellhole. Every kind of fornication, evil, wicked thing going on years ago. Yeah, they had sin back there too, you know, years ago. Saturday night dances and so forth. And there was, my mother was telling me about this, and everybody knew it because there were so many witnesses. But she said that two of the men, in dancing around with the women and all, came out and they sat on the porch, and one of them was coughing, and the other one said, you know, he said, you better take care of that cough. You know, you could die, get pneumonia, and could kill you. And he said to the other one, well, he said, if I die before you, he said, I'll shovel coal for you down in hell. And then he proceeded to drop dead. Meanwhile, inside the dance hall, people were having a wild, drunken time going on, and some kind of a being appeared on the dance floor in black, and there was a foul smell of sulfur in there. And some of these old drunks, they looked and said, it's the devil, you know, and one of them went over and touched him, burned his hand, big burn in his hand, and this thing just whoosh, right through the floor, disappeared. And it was seen by over 100 people. Now that's news. But people forget things like that very quickly, don't they? Oh yeah. So the devil does sometimes appear. And it might have not been the old devil himself. It might have been a demon spirit. I think the devil spends most of his time in the Oval Office these days. But back and forth. He commutes, you know, between Rome and Washington quite a bit. Amen. Without question. And I don't think he does it by airlines either. Very difficult to fly these days. You have to pay to check your luggage now. Anyway, if we go back to Jeremiah chapter 5, it says in the first verse, and this is not, bear in mind, this is the prophet of God, and he's feeling and seeing and perceiving things that are very difficult for him. He knows the Lord. He understands the ways of God. God had spoken to him. He loved the Lord. Still does, because we know he's up there because God told him that he had separated him from his mother's womb, that he's chosen of God. But here Jeremiah says, prophesying by the Spirit of God, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. So there's a horrible situation, but God said he would pardon it if he could even find one person seeking the truth. Remember, in the days of Lot, you couldn't even find 10 righteous in all the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But here, God said, I'll pardon if See if you can find a man, just one. If there be any, he said, go out in the streets, run through the streets, try to find somebody, try to find even one. Did you ever look around and did you ever look at the faces of people out there? Get in the shopping mall somewhere, in the stores, or just even out on the street, those blank, dumb looks, those expressionless, like they don't have a clue. And they go and put gas in their car at for their weekly stick-up and pay the attendant $50, $75. I pulled into the BP. We had been making trips back and forth to Pickett and to Nina hospital visits. There's a woman in from the Pickett group there up in Nina, the hospital. Been driving quite a bit, and I had a quarter tank in my van. Now, I know it's got a 21-gallon tank, which is kind of nice until it comes time to fill it. But I had a quarter tank. I said to Shirley, how much do you think it'll take? And she said, oh, $49. And I knew that was low. So I went and filled it up, $75 with a quarter tank to start with. And you know, people say, oh, but it went down a few cents. See, what they do is in case you haven't figured this out yet, they raise it up, bring it down a little bit, raise it up, bring it down a little bit. And every time they bring it down a few cents, we're getting a deal. Look, I'm a duck, pluck me. Right? That's the mentality of people. They've lost their ability to think, to have any continuity of thought, to arrive at a conclusion that has any value to it, any merit, or any truth. They're a trusting people, but they don't trust in God. Now notice what he runs into here in the street. He's out in the streets of Jerusalem. See if you can find anybody. God tells him, look, God's already looked. He knows there's nobody there. See if you can find anybody. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. They're a bunch of oath-breaking, perjuring liars, and yet they'll say, the Lord liveth. They've got their religion. How many people could you talk to out there, and they'll say, I've got my church. Don't talk to me, I got my church. I pay my pew rental. My fingers do the walking around the beads. I light candles. I pay the priest. One man actually said one time, he said, I don't pray anymore. I send $10 to Falwell, let him do it. Well, Falwell's gone now, so now he's going to do it. But that's the mentality. Send your $10 to Falwell, he'll pray for you. I used to get these things in the mail. This Rex Humbard sent me a penny one time and told me to put it under my pillow and send him $20. And the next day I'd have prosperity. I don't believe in Rex Humbard's tooth fairy. There's plenty of little fairies running around out there, but I don't believe in the tooth fairy. Now, you'll get it straight from me. I'm not going to pull any punches. I don't believe in that. Some people say you're unkind, you're cruel. I think it's time to lay it on the line, folks. Our nation is perverted top side to the bottom side. So, God's saying here, oh, they'll talk the talk. They'll say, oh, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Methodist. The Lord liveth. Oh, sure, we believe in God. I could find a drunk out in the street, bombed out of his gourd and say, do you believe in God? Oh, sure I do. Huh? What does that mean? Verse 3, it says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? That's what God's looking for. Truth! And you know, you don't find that in religion. Truth comes from heaven to the hearts of God's people. It isn't franchised out into religions. You know, it's really something. Where is truth anyway? What is truth? Where is truth? Pilate asked the question. Remember, he looked at Jesus. Can you imagine looking Jesus in the face and saying, what is truth? Jesus not only tells the truth, he is the truth. I haven't done this for a long time. Remember my old definition of truth? What is truth? It's very hard to define, you know. But if you think about it, I think this is the best definition that I can think of. Truth is an accurate representation of that which is under consideration as it relates to all other things, as it has always been so in the past, is universally so in the present, and will hold without exception in the future. You got that? I'm going to say it again because I'm going to show you something. There's a principle here. Truth is an accurate representation of that which is under consideration as it relates or pertains to all other things, as it has always been so in the past, is universally so in the present, and will hold without exception in the future. Involves all three dimensions of time. You know what that tells me? There is only one who could meet that requirement, and that is Almighty God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As He pertains to all other things, universally so in the past, present, and future, I am He, and He was, and is to come. I am He that liveth. You see, that He is truth. But where do you find it in this world? It comes from heaven. Barack Obama said that he sat in a church for 20 years and never heard what the preacher said. Remember the Reverend, quote-unquote, Reverend Wright? And he said, I didn't realize he said all those. How can you sit in a church for 20 years? That's what he said. He said, I didn't know what they, you know, he quit the church now. See, now he's full Islam. He's not saying that. But now he forsook that particular church, which isn't anybody and everybody should, but I'm just saying he did for political reasons. Now they can't pin that on him. See, I quit. His advisors obviously said, bail out of that one. But the fact that he said he sat in a church for 20 years and never heard anything, I don't have any respect for anybody who could sit for 20 years and listen and not hear anything. He's the man who wants to be the president of the United States. And he is uniting the world of Islam into the United States of Islam and all of its other little integral parts. Folks, it's already happening. As I read through this, as we study this morning, you'll see that ever more clearly. And so he says in verse 3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. You know, these meteorologists, they say, boy, it's really something. 900 tornadoes in the United States in the month of May. 900 tornadoes. Why that's, you know, that's actually only about 860, 850, 60, something like that, above average. And I heard one say to another, wonder what's going on. What's going on? California is in deep trouble financially. Well, of course, they say now that a man and a man and a woman can marry. You know, you can't say same-sex marriages because you don't know what sex they are anymore. They might have, you know, been in for a change. You don't know what you got anymore. They're a little bit of each, but not enough of neither. You can't really say same-sex marriages. It's a man marrying a man, a woman marrying a woman. California says, that's okay, we can do that. Schwarzenegger says, I got no problem with it. He signed it. And now they're having trouble and wonder why? True, they've been having trouble for a while, but they're having a lot of trouble now. And they said now they looked at their budget and they got this huge deficit. They don't know what they're going to do, and so they came up with a solution. They said, this new tax is going to solve every problem they have in their budget. They're going to put a big tax on pornography. And they said there's so much usage of it, it'll solve all the problem. Where would our government be today without tax on cigarettes, without tax on whiskey? Speaking of which, I saw a picture of Hillary Clinton on a plane, and she didn't have a little shot glass. She had it looked like a 12-ounce snifter of whiskey or brandy, and she had that almost gone, And she was as pie-eyed as the pie-eyed piper. Had her head over to one side, and eyes that big, you could tell she'd down that and some else besides. And she wants to be the President of the United States. Who's going to occupy the Oval Office? Our current president was so insecure when he first walked in there. The first thing he asked for was a bust of his hero, Sir Winston Churchill. High-ranking Illuminist, Freemason, member of the League of Just Men, one of the architects of World War II. And he asked for a bust of Winston Churchill. Oh, pardon me, Sir Winston Churchill. And they went and got him one. And he set it up on a pedestal, and he went in and he consulted with it, talked to it, and asked it questions. And this is the guy that's running the country here and started this big war over there. Well, could go on and on and on ad nauseum, but anyway, the question is asked here, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. Isn't it an awesome thing when God sends correction? You know, you tell people that and they say, oh, God would never send a flood. God would never send an earthquake. God would never do that. These are the same people that if they had a little son or daughter and that little son or daughter went and got a claw hammer and started playing the piano with it, they'd correct them in a hurry, wouldn't they? Oh, yeah. But they're saying, God is just a big, loving tower of jelly, you know? He would never, ever, ever do anything to inconvenience the human race. God is a God who sends correction. Correction. In fact, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction. Right? For instruction in righteousness and so forth. So, they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. This is what happened to Israel back there, and I'm telling you, we see the same thing today. Faces like stone, unless they're stoned. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. Now watch, Jeremiah, in his human ability to reason, to some extent, says, well, that's because I went to the wrong crowd. These are just the common people. Maybe they're too ignorant. I'm going to go to people who really have learned. They spent time in school. They've studied. I'll go to the intelligentsia. I'll go to the people that are of great erudition. People that are intelligent. They'll know. Will they? He says, these are poor. They are foolish. For they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. See, it's really something when people can't even know God by His judgments. When terrible things happen, shouldn't people call upon God? Isn't that the remedy? That's what would change things. Verse 5 says, he's saying here, I will get me unto the great men. The great men. Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, John McCain, George Bush, Dick Cheney. When I say all these names, doesn't it just make your stomach kind of quiver? Huh? I'm going to tell you something. Some people are going to, I don't know what they're going to say about me, but I'm just going to tell you. These guys that wear their fancy suits, which they were able to get because of the way they rip people off, and that these people are nothing but a bunch of low-life hoodlums and thugs. Right. Dressed up in suits. You know, the mafia was famous for its pinstripe suits and violin cases, right? What's the difference? There's an old folk song used to be sung years ago where these three hunters go out hunting. We're off three jolly huntsmen, a-hunting we will go, and so forth. And they come across these different things. And they come across a pig. One said, look, a pig. And the other said, nay, it's a politician with his clothes stole away. In other words, what's the difference between a pig and a politician? Just a suit of clothes. With apologies to the pig, because I think in some cases they're more intelligent. So he says, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. What does that mean? They've thrown off all authority. One man wrote a book one time called Liberated from the Tyranny of God, where they throw off all responsibility to heaven and say, we will run it. We who are gifted and intelligent. And isn't that the doctrine of the Masons? Deism. God, the supreme architect of the universe, made all of this, but he entrusted it into the hands of the Masons to run it. That God wound it up like a clock and threw it out there in space, and it's all running, but it's up to those who are gifted to rule over those who are less gifted, who are too dumb to know what they need, what they should eat, what they should drink, where they should go to church, what they should believe in. And only when they're indoctrinated will we give them the square mortarboard hat and a robe to wear at the commencement. Only when they've advanced through wisdom by degrees, then we will graduate them. Then we will give them a Bachelor of Science degree, a BS degree. Then we will give them a Master of Science degree, MS, more of the same. Then we will give them a doctorate degree, a sheepskin, as it's called, like the apron. Then we will give them that PhD piled higher and deeper. Then we graduate them. Then we'll put them out into the world, because now they are so controlled. Their mind is so pickled in the brine of conspiracy. Now we can give them a job. Now we can give them something to run. Now we can make them a corporate executive, because they're going to fall right in lockstep with our entire conspiratorial plan to put Satan on the throne at the very end of the world. That is why things are the way they are. And they want to get these people into the colleges, because they'll even give you a Pell Grant named after the late Senator Claiborne Pell. Ever hear of a Pell Grant to go to college? And of course, Claiborne Pell had a paid psychic, fortune teller, witch on his staff. He admitted it. On U.S. payroll, paid for by your tax dollars, to advise him every step that he took. Nancy Reagan said that her husband, Ronnie Reagan, the actor, the hypocrite, of course now it's Saint Ronald Reagan in the eyes of a lot of people. He didn't make one decision without consulting an astrologer. When Bill Clinton was in the White House, I should say when the Clintons were in the White House, the president and her husband, when they were in the White House, they didn't do anything without consulting Jean Houston in the solarium. And there you had Hillary Clinton saying she spent 3 days in the White House solarium talking to the late Eleanor Roosevelt. Well, how did she know it wasn't J. Edgar Hoover in drag? How would you know? But anyway, so here they were consulting familiar spirits. Come on, I'm being graphic like this and laying this out so you can see the full effect of it. We need the Lord. This nation is absolutely given over, and it's time we know about it. We better start crying out, because there's deep trouble just ahead. You know, a few years ago, on Memorial Day, there were 50,000 motorcycle riders went to the Capitol 50,000 of them. And this is, I don't remember how many years ago this was. It was back there a little ways. And they said, if our president is going to have a new world order, he's going to have to go through us first. These were Vietnam War vets, Green Berets, and so forth. 50,000 saying, we're going to stand against this government if they're going to try and put a one world government on us. We're going to fight them. That's what they said. Did you ever wonder why that wasn't in the press? Pictures were taken. The proof was there. The speeches were recorded. But nobody touched it. Why anti-New World Order? We got a letter from one of the prisons in Michigan saying, your newsletter is contraband. Nobody can get the newsletter here because it contains information about the New World Order. They actually stated it. Folks, it's everywhere. And now Ford Motor Company has come up with a new car called the Global Car. They're calling it the Global. And they just announced this now, just over the weekend. The Global Car. And they said that it's going to bring a lot of jobs and everything, and they're going to build these huge factories, but every one of them is in Mexico. Ford has a better idea, right? Well, you know, when you start to put this whole package together, you know, I can feel just a little bit maybe of what Jeremiah felt. How do you even begin with people? Where is the start button? Where is the valve? Where is the place where you pour in the common sense and the spiritual discernment, the combination of which would lead you to the conclusion that the only thing that we can do is cry out to the Almighty. He's the only one who can help us. So what did God say? Notice, even the people who should know don't. So what do? The Lord says this in verse 6. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. What does that mean? You have to understand a similitude of prophecy here. God looks at governments as beasts. How do I know that? If you go back to Daniel 7, for an example, he'll tell you specifically there that there were four kingdoms or four beasts represented by beasts, remember? Babylon was represented by a lion with two wings. We know that Medo-Persia was represented by a bear with three ribs in its mouth. We know that the Grecian Empire was represented by a leopard with four heads. We know that Rome was represented by an indescribable beast with great iron teeth, having seven heads and ten horns. And this thing was, you couldn't even describe it, how terrible it was. God sees empires and kingdoms as beasts. That's why he uses the same similitude here. And of course, the language of that is the lion of Babylon with two wings. It conquered the world with known speed, unknown speed before amount of time had ever been shorter than what it took him to conquer and set up an empire, Nebuchadnezzar. But then the next empire was that of Medo-Persia, the bear with the three ribs. Arise, devour much flesh. Very typical of the Persian Empire. Tenacious, ruthless, vicious, would not back down, whose laws and could not alter or change, as Daniel found out. But of course, God knows how to change things, doesn't he? And then, of course, the Grecian Empire, the leopard with four heads. When Alexander the Great died, his four generals took over: Lysimachus, Cassander, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. Four heads on one leopard, four wings, very fast. The empire of Alexander the Great, which was then divided up. One took the southern kingdom and one went toward the Hellespont, the Bosporus, the north. Now, Rome came and went. But where are we now? In another Roman Empire. In a spiritual Babylon. in a system Satan has set up where all the king's horses and all the king's men, though they couldn't put it together again, they did assemble it somewhat. Do you ever wonder about those nursery rhymes? They're very political, you know, and very prophetic. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. People read that to their little children. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, an egg, right? Down it goes. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That was regarding the fall of Babylon. And the fall of the other empires. Babylon was represented by an egg with a crescent moon at the top, with a serpent wrapped around it, sitting on a pedestal. You find those same symbols in the Roman Catholic system right now. Look at their symbology. It's all there. And God looks at kingdoms. When God sees it from heaven, He says, there's a beast. He says, a lion out of the forest shall slay them. Our nation is being slain by the spirit of Babylon as I speak. There's a lion involved here. A wolf of the evenings. Now that's interesting, because evenings there is taken from a Hebrew word that means deserts or desert wolf. Are there any people associated with deserts and oil that are troubling our country? All the terrorism, isn't it blamed on them? Of course, we know who the true terrorists are, including the one that was sitting in a school in Florida the days the towers came down, reading a book called My Pet Goat and holding it upside down. And then they told him, and he didn't even wince. He just sat there. I said, you've seen the pictures, haven't you? Yes. When they told him about it, what happened, they came in and told him. And he sat there and he looked, turned his head a little. You'd think he'd jump up and say, well, we better, you know, do something. He'd announce it. And in fact, he did finally speak and he said, the Twin Towers have been hit. At the time he said it, only the first one had been hit. He knew all about it. And right now they're having trouble over at Ground Zero, because that's a true Ground Zero. You know what Ground Zero really means? A place where an atomic bomb went off. And that's Ground Zero, where an atomic bomb explodes. Hiroshima was a Ground Zero. Nagasaki was a Ground Zero. Out in Nevada there in the test sites, that's Ground Zero. That's where the bomb detonates if it's nuclear. And now they're having trouble with radioactivity under that area. There were small nukes that brought those towers down. Took the supports out, pulled it in, just like a demolition, straight down. They nuked it. And there is intense radioactivity under the ground in that area right now, because you don't get rid of it that quickly. There's quite a half-life to U-235 or plutonium. Wow. Some people listen. I've had people listen to me say things like this. They say, boy, he's nuts. Did you ever have anything like that happen to you? Huh? Anybody? It just doesn't fit in with what they've been taught. America, mom's apple pie, wave the flag, we're the good guys. God's on our side. Oh no. Even Abraham Lincoln said something quite profound about that one time before a great battle of the Civil War. One of the Union generals said, Mr. President, he said, let's hope that God is on our side. Lincoln said, no, let's pray that we're on God's side. And I'll tell you this, America is not on God's side. By their very actions, they declare their rebellion against Him. By the butchering of 40 million babies since 1972, approved by our Supreme Court, and presidents who have repeatedly said we can do nothing about it, it's the Supreme Court, when He's got executive orders and the power to stop it instantly, anytime. Would it be challenged? Yeah. But He could do it. Did not Abraham Lincoln write the Emancipation Proclamation, and without anybody's consent, free all the slaves in the states that were in insurrection? Oh, yeah. I think all of our states are in insurrection against God. And by the way, I don't think that the answer is a march on Washington. I think the answer is a march on hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And you can storm the gates of hell with prayer. But it's time we realize it fully. So God looks at these beasts, and really, these beasts terrorize the people of the city. You know, the name Iscariot comes from the name, the word Hebrew word Kerioth, actually Aramaic word Kerioth, which means of the cities, a man of the cities. Judas Iscariot literally means a man of the cities. And right now they are corralling people into the cities. And you know, these Hispanic people come out of Mexico illegally. I'm talking about illegally now, because the doors were open for them. Where do they go? Do they find a place in the country? They're filling up the cities. And these cities are rapidly becoming concentration camps. There's security in the cities. The government offices are all in the cities. They don't build them out in the desert. Everything is in the city. New York, New York, right? And you can confine a city very, very easily. And you can terrorize people and say, look, you need us. You need the police protection. You need the army protection. We will take care of you cradle to the grave. And that distance is shortening all the time. And people feel insecure. There's even a new phobia now. Psychiatrists listed a new phobia when people are out of range with their cell phone. If their cell phone isn't close enough to a tower and they have examined people, they've had them lay on the couch. You know why the psychiatrists have those couches like that and want you to lay down? So the money falls out of your pocket. They need a tip. See? But they've got a new phobia. People are cracking up when they're out of range with their cell phone. Ah, I'm isolated. I'm all alone. My phone doesn't work. Years ago, we drove all over the place without one. Now it's like, oh, I forgot my phone. I forgot my phone. Turn, drive back 20 miles to get it. People have gotten that strange, conditioned. I think there's a few lions and leopards and desert wolves out there. At least they want us to think so. Remember, see, you have to understand, a lot of this is a big hoax. The enemy of any people has always traditionally been its own government. Now, you can study that in political science if you want to. I have, and it's true. I have no beef against the Russian people or the people of Iraq. These little children would swing on their swings and slide down their slides, and they'd do their thing. They didn't bother me any. It's the governments that are back and forth with this game and drag the people into it. World War I was a family squabble. All the heads of state, with the exception of one or two, were cousins, descendants of Queen Victoria. It was a family feud. You know, there was a time when they taught that in school too, but not anymore. Teachers don't teach anymore. They just go through the motions of a prescribed course offered to them by the Rockefeller Institute. So God is saying here, oh, by the way, it says that because of their transgressions, there are many, the backslidings are increased. That's why this is happening, this terrorism, as it were. Remember I was telling you a few times, some of you may not have heard this, about Hannibal, that the head of Carthage, later on he started another, the word Carthage means new city. And later on he relocated to New Carthage, which means new city. But he came against the mighty Roman army and defeated it time and time again. He invented a new tactic of warfare. He would flank them. The Romans were always those that would fight straight on, and he would flank them and just mow them down. And they couldn't do a thing with Hannibal. Did you know that the Romans called Hannibal a terrorist? Literally, they called him a terrorist. Where did Hannibal finally end up? Well, first of all, he was up in the hills near Rome. Rome was built on seven hills. And he was up there in the hills. And the Roman Senate stood up, and the speakers, you know, these famous orators would say, "No Roman dare sleeps while Hannibal lives." What are they telling us? There's Al-Qaeda, there's Bin Laden, there's terrorists in our country. We've got to watch you because we've got to watch them. We have to micromanage your life. We have to watch what you're buying at the store, what books you check out at the library. We've got to know it all because they're hovering over you all the time. Chertoff, the head of the Gestapo in America, the Geheimestaatspolizei, said fingerprints are no longer personal. He said fingerprints are the property of the government. Why doesn't anybody call him on this stuff? Is everybody asleep? Just about. Just about. Hannibal's up in the hills. No Roman dare sleeps while Hannibal lives. And then after a while, when everybody is docile and they collected all their tax money because people paid it out of fear, "Oh, you got to get that awful Hannibal. Protect us, protect us. Take everything I've got." One woman called into the Rush Limbaugh show years ago, and she's on Open Line Friday. I haven't listened to that for years now, but she actually was dead serious. She said, "I think that the government should take all of our money and just give us back what they out of our checks and give us back what they think we need." Even he laughed about that one. But she was so into this system. We need the protection. It's just that, you know, it's the same principle as down in Chicago. Down in Chicago. I walk down the street and they'd see these stores and they'd walk in, a guy with a pinstripe suit walk in. "I'm selling protection. Now, this is a dangerous place here. Why, somebody could come in here. They could rob you. They could bust your windows out. They'd cause you all kinds of trouble. But, you know, for $100 a month, we'll see to it that that doesn't happen." That's what our government's running, is a protection racket. It's the same thing. And where did Hannibal... You know what? I don't think they like me for what I'm saying. But frankly, I'm going to say it again. I'm almost 58 and I just don't care what happens to me at all. If I don't spend the rest of my life doing what God has called me to do, then I'm wasting everybody's time. I'm at the point I really don't care about myself. I don't. Time goes on, you'll find out. But I'm just saying that's how it is. Where was Hannibal? Eventually. All of a sudden, and nobody knows how or why, he's seated on the Roman Senate. The terrorist is on the Senate. Remember when Reagan was president? Oh, Russia, Soviet Union, USSR, evil empire. Remember? Gorbachev. And all of a sudden, Gorbachev changes. He sees the light. And where is he now? As I speak, at the Presidio in San Francisco. Right here, running a global operation from America. We gave him the office. He's working for our government. Running the State of the World Forum, as it's called. I stood in front of his office and rebuked it. I was there. I saw it. I checked with FEMA. They have their office out there at Presidio. I walked in the FEMA office. I said, "Is that true? Gorbachev is here?" "Yeah, right over there." State of the World Forum. I've seen a lot of these things with my own eyes. I've been to these places. It's happening all over again, isn't it? And so the Lord says in verse 7, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me." You know why? They haven't been brought up in the ways of God. And sworn by them that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Big news. You know, they got this big all over the news. New movie out, Sex in the City. And they said the theaters are filling up with women. They said some theaters said there wasn't one man walked in the doors, all women. You know, I think it's one of those things where positively no one should be admitted. But the appetites of people are so... Well, verse 8 says, they were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. In other words, they are, as the Hebrew for this is, well-fed, lusty stallions. That's how these people are. They've got prosperity, they've got credit cards, they've got all these different things. So they start looking for ways of evil. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Oh, you can be sure it's coming. And the Lord actually, well, watch, I'm going to read a little bit more. We're almost out of time, but you've got to watch for this carefully. The Lord says, go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. Kind of like these high-tech helicopters that they can't use. Paid billions of dollars for them. They can't use them. Because if it gets above 80 degrees, they don't fly. The cabin temperature gets over 100 in it. They have no way of cooling it down adequately. The instruments all fail. Who thought that one up? Did you ever notice all the mistakes that are made? Mistake after mistake after mistake, but never in our favor. This country was too big, too powerful, too great, too rich, too wealthy, too affluent to be in a new world order. You had to break it down. You had to bust it. You had to bring it down to a poverty level where it cannot survive on its own, where it needs red China. Now there's this big complaint. One of the heads of our State Department went over to Russia, or one of our cabinet-level departments went over there with a laptop, and while he was there, he found out the Chinese downloaded everything off the laptop, which they used to hack into all of our systems. Is that on purpose, or are they that dumb? It's all part of the script, folks. For the house of... When are people going to realize China's not our friend? They're building submarine bases, they're building nukes, all this stuff. But we give them most favored trade status. We borrow money from them so we could send everybody a check so they could go and spend it at Walmart and buy Chinese goods. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord, meaning they told lies on God. What was the lie? And said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. Nothing will ever happen to us. God said, they're telling a lie, and they're telling that lie on me. Have you ever been lied about? It doesn't feel good. Think how God feels when he's lied about. But we're going to see sword, we're going to see famine, we're going to see earthquakes, and we're going to see all kinds of things. We're already seeing them. And if that fault line moves anymore and that brittle plate that we're sitting on crumbles, and eventually they've all agreed the day will come before too long when it will, the western shore of Lake Michigan is going to be at La Crosse. Now that could happen at the sounding of the last trumpet. It could happen before. It's already been shaking. We'll see. But though the earth be removed, we stand on the word of God. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. In other words, these prophets, what does it mean by that? Meaning false prophets here. televangelists, we call them today. What is God saying here? They're going to be nothing but big bags of wind. Yeah. Isn't that what he's saying? Wind bags. The prophet shall become wind. The word's not in them. Including John Hagee. Yes. That turncoat sellout. Apologizes to the Pope. Wow. I listened to that guy. I thought, oh no. What next? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth, meaning in Jeremiah's mouth, fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. How much time have I got? A few minutes yet? I just want to get this all on the recording. How many? 15. I don't think I have that much with Sam. I'm going to take another 5. Turn with me. I may come back to this eventually at another time, but I want to get something else in very quickly. In the book of Amos, chapter 7, something very amazing happens. In Amos 7:10, it says, now Amos was prophesying against his nation. Do you ever have people say, don't ever speak against your country? Oh, you're not patriotic. How terrible, terrible, anti-American. Amos was speaking against his country. Not because he hated his country, he loved it. So do I. But I'm coming against the evil in it. But I don't expect people to understand that, other than you. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel, this is Amos 7:10, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. We can't stand his words. One man becomes public enemy number one because of what he says, not who he is. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Go preach to somebody else, they're saying. Ever had people say, get out of your country if you don't like it? You know what I tell them? No, you get out. You're the one destroying it, not me. I'm trying to help it. People tell me to leave. I say, no, you get out of here. I'm sick of you. Out with you. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Either repent or get out. Time to stand up. Don't let them push you around. Boy, what got into me today? Anyway, some people hear me preach and they come and meet me in person. Oh, you're just this little quiet little guy. And then you get up there and you're going like this. And what's that all about, you know? Verse 13 says, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. Don't do it here. Why? For it is the king's chapel, meaning sanctuary. It's the state church. It's the government church. It's the king's church. Don't go prophesying the word of God in the king's church. Why, this is 501c3. You can't say that here. See? They didn't have a 501c3 back there, but the same spirit. This is the king's chapel. Don't give us that word of God here. This is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I'm just a fruit picker and a herdman. That's all. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. He's saying, I'm just a nothing and a nobody, but I've just got a message to deliver. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. See, that's what Amaziah was saying to him, drop not thy word. That means don't spout the word here. Don't spout the word here, just spouting off. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line. Watch this now, because it's true of America, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. They have polluted our water, they've polluted our air, they've polluted our food, they've polluted the airwaves with filth. Everything is dirty, filthy, unsound, polluted. They irradiate your omens. What's left? Man up north there was eating chicken, and he took the bones and threw them outside. You're not supposed to give chicken bones to a dog, but he did, and the dog wouldn't touch him because he looked. It was evening, it was getting dark out. He looked outside, that's by Antigo up there, it was in the paper. And there, in the dog dish, the bones were glowing green, pulsating. You know, when they irradiate the meat, it's done with radioactive waste, not microwaves. Microwaves would cook it. Radioactive waste from the reactors. And it stays in the bones. Some of it, wherever, the most dense areas where it stays. How do you like them apples? Or them chickens, or whatever. And he said in this prophecy, and the land shall be divided by line. They're dividing our land up right now. Foreign nations have come in, bought it up, they're dividing it up. They bought our bridges, they bought our freeways, they're buying everything up. All the infrastructure is being owned by Islamic, primarily Islamic people. From India, from Pakistan, from Arab countries. And thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. That captivity is a very real thing. God help us. Now, what's the solution? I'm not the type to preach all kinds of shake 'em up tidings here and do gloom and doom without telling you, and what I said to you today was reality, is reality. There is an answer to this. I don't believe our nation will ever repent. I just don't see it. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think it will. In fact, the Bible tells us it'll grow worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. It's all coming to pass now. Now, what do? We who know our God need to stay right with God, walk with God, and be bold enough. What did the apostles pray for in that room when it was shaken? Give us boldness. Put them on the defensive. Don't feel intimidated about the name of Jesus or about the fact you're a Christian. If you go to a restaurant, definitely pray before you eat. But don't be afraid to stand up and pray. It's all right to be seen. It's all right to talk about God. Why not? God, give us boldness. And be ready, because at any time that trumpet could sound. The coming of our God is imminent. All right, we're out of time. Let's stand and pray. Warn others. Preach it. The everlasting gospel will go out until the very last day. Amen. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer, and we thank Thee, Lord, that we have this great hope that we have, because what we're seeing and the reality of it is dreadful. And Lord, Thy hand, Thy mighty hand, is even now beginning to touch this nation in judgment. But there is so much more to come. And yea, all the world is coming together for that great final battle of Armageddon. But Lord, Thy great trumpet will sound in the voice of the archangel, and Thou wilt surely draw Thy people unto Thyself. Now, Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. Keep us right with Thee and ready at all times to walk in Thy ways and do Thy will. And let Thy purpose be fulfilled in us. And let us not be deceived by any means. But, Lord, keep us in Thy perfect care, we pray. And help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.